Worth Repeating is made possible by series sponsorship from the 8020 Foundation, the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture, and the Lifshutz Foundation.
Some of the stories may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Worth Repeating podcast. I'm Tori Poole. This is the second part of the live storytelling event recorded at the Irma and Emilio Nicolas Media Center at Texas Public Radio in downtown San Antonio. The theme was transmitted, stories about things that are passed from a person or a place. Can you think of something that was passed on to you? Our next storyteller is Vivian Chappell. Vivian shares a story about community work and her affinity for people that enjoy a lot of other people.
Hello. My everyday involves working with people and talking about sex. So I started working in this field because, again, I love people. But what I didn't realize was how much other people love people. So 10 years ago, I went to UTSA. I went thinking I was going to go to medical school and then quickly realized that I didn't want to wipe butts and smell body fluids. So I did the next best thing and went to school and got my degree in public health. So in public health, I started working, my first like real job was working with women and children who had a history of substance use. So in that job, I would take them to rehab, pick them up from jail, and also lead sex group talks. And that's when I realized how important it was to talk about sex, because I'm in a room of about 40 women and we're all there. We're all at eye level. Well, for me, it's eye level when people are sitting. And and we're of all generations and everybody gets so uncomfortable with this conversation. I bring out this bright purple dildo. And everyone makes the most like, oh, gross. What are you doing? Put that away. Like, that's so aggressive. And I'm like, yes, penises are gross and aggressive. But you also let that enter you. So we have to have this conversation. How to properly put on a condom. So that was me. I would walk in and talk to them. And I realized, again, how important it is to talk about sex. A lot of people in that room were just as clueless as I was before I decided to join that field. And when I would talk to them, I would get a lot of good energy and good feedback. Like everybody was like waiting for someone just to start the conversation. And so now that's all I do. All I do every day is talk about sex. My current job involves talking to people, again, of all walks of life, and just telling them about the dangers of sex and sexually transmitted infections. I specifically talk about, you know, how they're transmitted. I get a lot of questions about, oh, can I get it from sharing a bathroom, toilet seat? Can I get it from sharing drinks with somebody who's positive? And, you know, I'm like, no, that's not quite how it works. You get it from anal, oral, and vaginal sex. And it would come through semen and it would come through blood. But remember, only through the holes. That's the main takeaway. You can't get it from drinking the same drink and sharing the toilet. And so, as you can imagine, I meet a lot of different people, have a lot of stories, but there are a few that have really stuck with me. This first one that I wanted to talk about was a story about a guy. Oh, and before I start, I will let you know that some of these stories were changed due to HIPAA and confidentiality. So nobody can claim them. But there's this guy who comes into the clinic and he tests positive for syphilis. part of my job is to make sure people are properly treated and also have all the information they need. And another question I ask is for their partners. Syphilis, you can get infected again. So it's important if you're getting treatment today that your partners get treatment before you guys have sex, because then you're just passing it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So as I'm explaining this to this guy, he's super uncomfortable. I walk in, he's like, "You look like you'd be my daughter." And I'm like, "Sorry, do you want me to get somebody else?" He's like, "No, it's fine. Let's just get it over with." And so, I comes again where I'm like, "Okay, sir. So is there any partners I can reach out to offer testing and treatment?" And he was like, "So this is confidential, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, 100%. Like, I don't care who you have sex with. All I care about is you getting tested and your partner's getting tested and treated." And so he's like, "Okay, so there's this guy and there's a girl." And I'm like, "Okay, great. Let's start with that." And so he comes out, he's married. He's been married for 10 plus years. And the guy is his brother-in-law. And when I asked for last sexual encounters, because it's part of my job, they were both last in the 24 hours. And I was like, "Oh my gosh." And so, but me, poker face, I'm like, "Wow, yeah, I've heard it all. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Let's get him in. Come on." Anybody else we could reach out to? No friends? No. Okay, great. And so that one stuck with me. So it does happen to married people. You should get tested yearly, no matter if you're married or not. Another story I had was about this guy, maybe in his late 20s, and he came in because he had a rash on his arms, and it was on both his arms, and it was red, and it was all over, and he came in and was like, "I did some research, and I saw that it could be syphilis, so I'm here." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, let's take a look." And so we look, and we're talking, and his test had come out positive for syphilis. So I'm explaining, you know, how it spreads and all that good stuff, fun stuff to talk about. and then we're waiting a little bit longer. And then it turns out he also tested positive for HIV. And he was not aware. He didn't have any symptoms, didn't have any signs. He was literally just there for the rash on his arms. So when we start talking about that, you know, he gets real quiet. You know, I give him his space. And then we talk about how it's great that he had the rash. And I always tell patients that, where it's great you got a sign or symptom, because most people don't. And then they don't get tested. Because in San Antonio, there is a lot of stigma and a lot of, you know, "Hush, hush, we don't talk about that." but because of the culture in San Antonio, primarily being Hispanic and religious, that's why I enjoy talking about it, to hopefully create a space where people feel like this isn't so weird and taboo, because everyone in here came from sex. So we kind of got to talk about it. and so another story I had was based on this. Another part of my job is also reaching out to moms who are pregnant. Pregnant people are pregnant because they had sex. And there's people who get prenatal care. There's people who don't get prenatal care. And there's this one patient who came in, and she didn't come in. I got a call that she delivered. And when she delivered, her test was positive. She didn't have any previous history. And throughout all her prenatal care, they didn't test her but one time. And so that's part of my job, to make sure that they test. So unfortunately, she didn't get to go home with her baby after delivering. Baby had to stay in the NICU for 10 days. So again, let's talk about sex. It's really important that we have these open conversations. If you're old enough to have sex, you should be old enough and grown up enough to talk about sex. Thank you.
It's clear that Vivian has a gift and a way to explain things that are difficult for people to hear.
This program was made possible with support from the 80/20 Foundation, striving to transform San Antonio by issuing grants to public charities that attract, grow, and retain San Antonio's future workforce. For this and more information, visit 8020foundation.com.
Worth Repeating returns this fall, and I want to hear from you. Take some time and tell us what you thought of this past season. Suggest some themes for next year, or maybe just give us our flowers. Visit tpr.org/WR and fill out the survey today. Not a survey guy or gal? You can shoot me an email directly at worthrepeating@tpr.org. Our next storyteller is Jeff Velarde. Jeff shares a story about a hike that saved a radio station.
The article in the paper the following day would read, "Mudman saves the day for Hawaii Public Radio's spring pledge drive." But no photograph would be attached. So those of you that don't know what a pledge drive is, the 100 or so of you that didn't make a contribution by scanning that QR code, pledge drives are an important time. I'm the business membership manager. I can check the donations. So the pledge drives are an important time for us in public radio to raise funds to continue doing the programming and continue the operations of our radio station. And so a few times a year, we come on the airwaves and ask the public for their support. I've been working at Hawaii Public Radio for about 13 years at this point in time. I'd been the operations director, the program director, the production director, membership director. I was currently the events director running a theater much like this one. Of all the positions I held, transmitter engineer was not one of them. While on Oahu, one of my favorite things to do is go hiking. And there was a trail called the Wili Wili Nui Ridge that goes up the Ko'olau Mountains on the island of Oahu. This trail is about a 1,300-foot incline through rainforests and gets to a ridge. And on the ridge is the transmitter for Hawaii Public Radio. That's probably why I enjoyed making the hike up there. So we're a couple days away from our spring pledge drive, and a rainstorm hits the island of Oahu, and it knocks out our backup transmitter. Now, the main transmitter had been repaired, but they had not had time to reroute the transmission line from the backup to the main. There's only two ways to access this transmitter. One is by this lovely hike I just told you about, and the second is by helicopter. But there's a rainstorm, and you can't fly a helicopter up to a ridge in a rainstorm. And plus, even still, you'd have to schedule the helicopter ride, and that would take days. So the chief engineer, a good friend of mine, talks to the general manager and says, "Hey, Jeff likes making this hike up there. Maybe we can ask Jeff to hike up there. I can walk him through the steps of rerouting transmission line." So they ask me, "Jeff, would you like to make this trip up the mountain to reroute transmission line?" Of course, you know, the first thing I said is I have no idea how to reroute transmission line. But the engineer says he's going to walk me through it step by step. It'll be easy peasy, no problem. Okay, well, I have a couple of things to consider. First of all, it's early afternoon already. It gets dark around 6:45 p.m. year-round in Hawaii. So I have limited daylight left. The other thing is that they've informed me that there's lightning headed into the area. Being around a large metal tower on a mountain with lightning is not a good idea. But they're going to inform me. They're going to keep me up to date with the weather forecast. So I think it through, and my option is I can sit around all afternoon writing rental contracts for the theater or take on this challenge and save our pledge drive. So I decide to take on the challenge. I go home to get my wife's truck. She has an all-wheel drive vehicle, and from the trailhead to the transmitter, it's about a two-hour hike. But there is a road that you can drive up if you have access to the gate and an all-wheel drive vehicle, and you can get up about halfway. So I get her truck, I drive up about halfway. Now that gets you up about 300 feet. The rest of the 1,000 feet plus is 90-degree angle straight up through rainforest, and it's pouring down rain. So I begin the hike, and it's, you know, a couple feet up, 1 foot down, because you're slipping and sliding. Trudge up through the rainforest. I'm getting just soaking wet, mud everywhere. But I'm on the phone with the station. They're keeping me up to date with the weather forecast. And of course, I'm complaining that I have mud everywhere. So I finally get up to the transmitter site. And underneath the transmitter is the room where the transmission line is. It's about a 5-foot high ceiling in there. And the transmitter line runs through like plumbing pipe, like you'd see going to your house. It's like 5 to 6 inch pipes. And so basically, as the engineer's taking me through this process, I'm like a plumber, really. I mean, I'm just like adjusting plumbing piping and with the elbows and everything. So I go through every single step. And you know what? I'm feeling pretty good about this, actually. I'm like, okay, this is not that bad. We get up to the transmitter, and now the engineer, my friend, tells me, okay, one of two things is going to happen. One, the transmitter will come on the air. Two, you've made a mistake, and when you flip the switch, it'll blow up. I don't like number two. So I'm like, let's go back and walk through all those steps again. So we go back downstairs, and I go through every single step. This time, I make sure everything is super tight, well connected. I'm feeling a little bit better about number two. It's now like a made-for-movie moment. Cue the suspenseful music. Beads of sweat coming down my forehead. Shaky finger headed towards the switch. I flip the switch and nothing. The station doesn't come on the air. I don't blow up. I'm like, what the? I'm trying to restart my heart. And my soon-to-be ex-friend, the engineer, says, oh, I forgot a step. This is not what I want to hear. He's like, there's a fail-safe switch that keeps both transmitters from being on at the same time. I forgot to have you take that off. No big deal. It's easy. Just go around the back, turn it off. So I do that. I go turn it off, come back. Now I'm back to one. Station comes on the air. Two, I blow up. Cue the music, sweat, shaky finger. Flip the switch, and all things considered, the afternoon news program comes across the speakers. I've saved the day. All excited. I've got word from the station that the lightning is about 30 minutes away. So I'm heli-ing down. Oh, heli means hurry. Heli-ing on down the mountain. Get back to my wife's truck. Being the good husband that I was, I came prepared. I brought a change of clothes. I brought jugs of water to wash off with. And I brought a garbage bag to put the muddy clothes in. I'm not driving back in my wife's truck full of mud. So I do that. I drive back to the station. And I get to the station, and unbeknownst to me, the local reporter for the advertiser had been writing this story, Mudman Saves the Day for Hawaii Public Radio's Spring Pledge Drive. I walk in, the entire staff is assembled there, round of applause as I walk in, the reporter is there, and a photographer ready to take a picture of Mudman. But I'm squeaky clean. Well, they didn't get their picture for the paper, but it did save the spring pledge drive. And as you heard, we're having our pledge drive here at Texas Public Radio. We're not asking you to climb a mountain through the mud and rainforest and all that stuff. All we're asking you to do is scan this QR code and make your contribution. Thank you.
It's clear we're lucky to have a dedicated person like Jeff in public radio.
This program was made possible by the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture, striving to enrich the quality of life of San Antonio residents and visitors by creating art programming and helping people experience art. For this and more information, visit getcreativesanantonio.com.
Our last storyteller is Becky Garcia. Becky shares a story about a visit to an STI clinic that could have gone maybe better.
Hello. All right, so this is about the one time I thought I had an STD. And some of you are already laughing, like, don't you mean the first time? No, the first and only time I ever thought I had an STD. I've always been a hypochondriac. I always thought I was dying. Like, I'm pretty sure that I kept WebMD afloat the first few years. Just always worried I was on the verge of death. Anyway, so I remember one time in fifth grade, we had an AIDS day. We learned all about AIDS. And so we were invited to place our anonymous questions in a fishbowl, and then an adult, a sex expert, just an adult, probably the gym teacher, You just pull out your question. And my cute little question, I was so excited they read it. They're like, okay, this question is, if somebody with AIDS pees on a toilet seat and then I sit on the toilet seat, will I get AIDS too and or pregnant? And I'm like, wow, pretty advanced for a kid already using like the and or statement. But also kind of dumb. I'm like, I have no idea how babies are made or how diseases are transmitted. But I also had the foresight that I'm like, you know what? I'm probably going to frequent dirty bars when I'm older and people are just going to pee anywhere and I'm just going to sit on it. I've done some of that. So flash forward about 10 years later, I'm still just as vigilant. And so I'm caring about my reproductive health at this point. And so I go to Planned Parenthood. Shout out to Planned Parenthood. Yay. I love Planned Parenthood, even though I got on Depo Provera and I probably have a brain tumor. No big deal. But back then they were like, oh, it's probably just going to make your bones brittle. And I'm like, I'm never going to be old. Psh, whatever, let's party. And I did. I did so much. Every time you would leave Planned Parenthood, they give you like this brown, crunchy paper bag, just like no exaggeration, probably like 500 condoms. And they just send you out there. Like you can't hide those. You're just walking around the street with this big old, like big old bag of condoms. Like, I don't know. You look like a sex wino. You're just like, people can see you and like, there's the whore. There she goes. We know what she's going to do. And I'm like, you don't even know my life. I'm a monogamist. I care. Get a job, sex hobo. Yeah, and I do. I do care about love. I'm a monogamist for the most part, anyway. I do. I love. One time where the story goes is that I let a boy move in with me way too fast, a very new boyfriend. And I just let him move in. I don't know if it's because like I thought, you know, hey, he's obsessed with me, or maybe he's just like a beta male. I love beta males. And I was like, he's being bullied by his roommates. Okay, that's something else. So I let him live with me. And a few weeks into living with each other, we noticed that we're both getting these bumps in our region. And I'm like, oh, great. Like now I have like herpes or genital warts. I don't know what this is. And so we're like getting real accusatory. I'm like, hey, like I didn't think I had to like say it because like you're living in my home. Like this is like, we're exclusive, right? He's like, oh yeah, no, I didn't do anything. Did you do something? I'm like, no, I didn't. I'm like, well, I guess we'll just go to the clinic, I guess. So he doesn't have a job. So he just goes to like a STD clinic and I had benefits. So humble brag. I went to the doctor. I was doing well. I was doing well for myself. I get to the doctor and like immediately they're like, well, we want to do labs right away. So let's just do that first, get it out of the way. So they send me down to the lab and I start getting my blood drawn. And this lady, she's a nurse. She's a professional. She's a random woman. She has all these vials and she keeps looking at like the order form and like, you know, she starts sticking me and stuff and switching them out. And I'm inquisitive. I'm like, hey, this like tests for like all like the STDs, right? She's like, yeah, this tests for like, most of them, yeah. And I was like, so like chlamydia, gonorrhea, trich, and I don't even know what that is, but like that too. She's like, everything. And I was like, okay. And so like herpes and syphilis, she's like, yes, those two. I was like, and HIV too, right? I mean like HPV. She's like, yeah, it'll test for HIV. I'm like, no, I meant to say HPV. Will this also test for that? Because it's like bumps and stuff. She's like, I can't answer any more of your questions. Real stirred with me. And I'm like, bitch. Wow. Okay. And I'm like, I'm sorry. It's just, that was my last question. She's like, I know, but I can't answer any more of your questions. Okay. I just can't. And I'm like, this is my one body, my one life. I'm curious about it. I'm like, well, like I need to know like what's going on. She's like, look, I just can't talk about it. I'm like, oh, so you just don't know the answers to my questions because you don't know about blood. Is that what it is? Or you just don't want to tell me? She's like, oh no, I know all about blood. That's how I got this job. I just don't want to tell you anymore. And so I'm like, you know what? That's not good enough for me. I need to speak to somebody who can answer my questions. Is there somebody that I can speak to? She's like, well, yeah, you can speak to the doctor. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I was like, the manager of the nurses. Got it. So she sends me back to, well, also like, at any point, like I'm so mouthy and I'm just like, at any point she could have just like grabbed that little tube and just like blown in it and been like, now you have HPV and an embolism. But she's better than me. She's better than me. So she stitches me up and she sends me back down to the exam room. I'm ordered to take off my clothes, put the robe on, lay down. I do all these things. And then in walks this cute little lady who's my doctor for the day, I guess. And she's just like, Miss Garcia, you have the bumps. She says that with the door still kind of open. I'm like, that's against HIPAA. You can't just tell everybody what's going on with me. She closes it. And she's like, all right, let's have a look-see. And I'm not trying to make fun of her accent. I don't know where she's from. She's adorable. But she sounded like a cute little robot took ESL classes. Basically, that's how she sounded. Wherever that's from. So I'm in there, and she's looking at my inner thighs and stuff. And she's like, oh, yes, very bumpy. Very bumpy. Oof. Oof. That's not a good sound ever to hear, the doctor. And then she goes, you have lots of hot sex. And I'm like, thank you. I mean, I think it's pretty standard stuff, but, you know, whatever. It's another day at the office for me. So she's like, yes, very, very hot. Lots of heat coming from this area. Just, oh, boy, it's just so hot, so much friction. And she's like, it's probably just your sebaceous gland just being overactive. I see things like this all the time. It's just the heat and the friction, just a lot of this. I'm like, she's doing Miyagi moves on me right there. She does that. She's like, but let's go ahead and let's take a look inside. I'm like, is this my doctor or Dr. Ruth? She's so cute. So she's like, all right, let me go inside. I'm like, all right, well, have fun. Be safe. Whatever. She has a headlight on. Like she's going to go spelunking in the cave that is my body. So she goes in there, she looks around, and she's like, well, I don't see, like, any lesions, no abnormalities, everything looks pretty good, and oh, I see your period is coming. Ooh, that's a weird thing to say out loud. But I'm curious, I'm like, wow, how do you know? And she's like, because I'm staring at your mucus plug. And I wanted to be like, brrf. But then I thought that was kind of cool. Like, she actually sees, like, the future in my vagina. Like, wow, you know? That's pretty cool. Like, is there, like, a farmer's almanac in my vagina? Like,
she's like, and I think in the next 2 weeks you should plant perennials. And watch out for the peas, pipes, plants, people, pets, penis, all those things.
I don't know. I was like, man, that's pretty badass. Like, I got, like, a magic eight ball in my vagina, basically. And so, like, I'm like, well, what else do you see? I'm like, I just start shaking, like, what do you see? Will I ever get married? She just looks up, like,
ask again later.
Thank you, guys.
Hot sex indeed. Okay, humble brag.
This program is made possible by the Lifshutz Foundation, an arts, culture, and humanities fundraising organization.
Worth Repeating relies on supporters like you. Supporting your favorite programs is important now more than ever. I ask you every show, and now I'm asking you every podcast. If Worth Repeating is a program that you turn to with fidelity, consider becoming a new or increasing your sustaining membership. You can do so by visiting tpr.org and clicking the red donate button today. You can leave a personalized note and tell them Tori said, meow, 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 meow. That's it for the Worth Repeating podcast. Do us a favor and give us a like, subscribe, or review us wherever you stream podcasts. Support for Worth Repeating comes from the 8020 Foundation, the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture, and the Lifshutz Foundation. Worth Repeating is a production of Texas Public Radio. I'm Tori Poole. Thanks for listening.